Said, amen. We're going to look at the very last beatitude today. And if we're going to look at a beatitude, you would think we would be looking where? Where have we been all these last number of months? Matthew chapter 5. We're not going to go to Matthew chapter 5 because the last beatitude is not in Matthew chapter 5. Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 20? Acts chapter 20, and even though you'd expect to find a beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, we find it here recorded years later when Paul addressed the Ephesian church. Now, this last recorded beatitude of Christ shares the only type of beatitude like this. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word, Matthew chapter 20? Where are we? Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul, in the midst of teaching of the church to take care of one another, said this. He said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this. In other words, he told them, I've been supporting myself. I've been taking care of myself. I've not been a burden on you while I've been a preacher and a teacher and a help on all these things. He said, I've been doing this. He said, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever heard that before? You've always heard that it's more blessed to give than to receive. I wonder if we really believe that. But in God's word, we have the words of Jesus recorded here by Paul, and he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, there are many beatitudes in the Bible. Even beyond Matthew chapter 5, there are many blessed is or blessed are throughout God's word. Matter of fact, 42 times in the Bible it's recorded that blessed is or blessed are these for this reason or another. But only once, friends, are you listening? Only one time in all of God's word do we hear the phrase, more blessed. Even more happy, in other words, even more fulfilled are, and it occurs from the words of Christ Jesus. You know what I think? I think before we pray over this that we need to realize that this is probably the most unbelieved beatitude in all the Bible, that it's more blessed to give. Happier is the person who gives more than the one who receives. The giver? Happier than the getter? Does that make sense to you? Only in God's kingdom. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for your word. And as we discover a deeper understanding in what it means, Lord, to be more blessed, happier, more greatly fulfilled, Father, would you share with us the secret? Because I know we want it. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. So God, would you reveal to us from your word what it means to be even happier than those who receive. We ask for this in Christ Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Happier is the giver than the receiver. Do you think maybe this was a mistake? Did Jesus make a mistake here? Maybe he meant to say, more blessed is the one who gets. Is that what he meant? If that's what he meant, guess what he would have said? He would have said it that way. But instead he said, more blessed is the one who gives than the one who receives. So what did Jesus mean by it's more blessed to give than to receive? Jesus was describing two blessings in life. And let's just make one very obvious. We know that one there, that the more blessed to give is there. But he also did not say, dear friend, that it wasn't a blessing to receive. So understand this, the very first blessing that he is speaking of and encouraging is the blessing of receiving. Now, it's a blessing to receive, and all God's people said. You don't have to be embarrassed about that. It's a blessing to receive. I receive from you so many blessings. I pray that you receive some from me. But folks, understand that that is the first understanding that we ever have, that it's a blessing to receive things that are good. Jesus did not say it wasn't a blessing to receive. It truly is. And you know what? I think as human beings that we come to a place to understand finally that it is our primary job as human beings to receive. That's our first job. We receive. You know what? When you were born, guess what? You did not go to the kitchen and make your own breakfast. Did you? No. For years, and maybe for too many years, you were taken care of by mom and dad. So understand this. It is our primary job to receive. So we understand it well. Receiving is very us-like. Is it not? It is indeed. God created us as his dependents. We are dependent on God, are we not? Amen. We are. Therefore, as dependents on God, we are his, we are recipients of his and the good things that he gives. He is our source. Amen. He is our supplier. He is the great giver. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. James chapter 1, verse 17, recorded in your bulletin for you to read back later. Those two verses remind us that God desires to give us good gifts. God the Father loves to give us good things. He is the endless provider who gives us blessings. He gives us universal blessings. We're going to describe these. He gives us daily blessings. He gives us spiritual blessings. And he gives us eternal blessings. Let's go through those very quickly. First of all, God gives universal blessings. Now, what in the world does that mean? Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, "For God, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good." So without the sun, we have nothing to grow. We have no life. So God gives the sun as a blessing on the good and the evil. He sends the rain, the scripture says, on the just and on the unjust. All of the good things God has given in this world, he's given to all people. God gives the sunshine, the rain, to the just and the unjust. In Genesis chapter 1, it says that God made the heavens and the earth. Do you remember why God made the heavens and the earth? He made it for Adam and for Eve, and for their offspring. He created the stars above their heads. He created the ground beneath their feet, and he did it to provide a home and to provide beauty for his children, Adam and Eve. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. That is a blessing from God, is it not? Folks, if you are not enjoying the creation of God, you're missing one of his great blessings. He bountifully gives for us to enjoy. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 1, if you'll go back and read Romans 1 and Psalms 19, it records, if you will remember, that all of nature is given to mankind as a witness to God. Remember that? Romans chapter 1 especially. I love that scripture because people will say, well, what if they've never heard about Jesus? Listen, God says, I have revealed myself to man through what I've given. So, we have the universal blessings. Then we have daily blessings. Daily blessings giving to each of us. Philippians chapter 4, 19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs." And you remember what the rest of that verse is? "According to his riches in glory." So, folks, you have no blessing on this earth that God has not given in his goodness and in his mercy. God gives us by the glory and to the glory of Jesus Christ. He meets all of our needs. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Help me finish that next verse. "The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. He provides for me. He gives for me." Folks, that's what a shepherd does. And Christ Jesus is a good shepherd. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is a verse you know. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Those previous verses said God knows that we need something to eat and something to clothe us and a place to stay. All these different things. God says you seek first his kingdom and all the stuff will be provided for you that you will need. Jesus told us not to worry about our temporal needs. because our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of. And He supplies all of our needs according to, again, His riches in glory. So we've got universal blessings, we've got daily blessings, and we've got spiritual blessings, folks. Don't forget the spiritual. It's not just about what we eat and what we wear. Amen? It is much more. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 tells us, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through Jesus Christ." Every spiritual blessing. Do you think you just make those spiritual blessings up? Do they just come because you're so good? Do I get blessed because I'm such a great guy? I can't even stand on my own 2 feet. Amen? Yeah, y'all laughed at that one. But it's true. I can't even stand on my own 2 feet. How in the world can I provide myself with spiritual blessing? Folks, it comes from God. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that in our relationship with Jesus Christ, go back and read that whole chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1, that God is the one who provides everything we need for life and for godliness. You think, I'd just love to be more like Jesus. I just can't do it. You're right. But if you'll go to God, you can. God gives you the spiritual blessings and the spiritual strength to do just that. Does that sound pretty good to y'all? Does that sound like some great blessings that God has given us? I love the commercials. But wait. Oh, I love it. There's more. God doesn't just give us the universal and the daily and the spiritual blessings for right here on this earth. God gives us eternal blessings. Folks, what would we do without the promise of the eternal life through Christ? What would you do? God has given us eternal life through His Son, Jesus. You know this verse, say it with me, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? That is the eternal blessing. Or just the beginning of it. That's just where it starts. Our primary role in this life is to love God, to learn to love God, and to learn to be the recipient of His good things. Not just the universal blessings, the sun and the rain. Not just the daily blessings of the things that He provides to take care of our eating and our drinking and our clothing and our shelter. Not just the spiritual blessings that we get here, but folks, the eternal blessings. The blessings that last forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. What could be more wonderful and what could be more blessed than just that? I ask you. But Jesus gave us the answer. Did He not? Jesus said, greater blessings come through those who give. The greater blessing in giving. Jesus said it. Now, in other words, let me just put it the straight way, because we know what blessing means. We know that blessed is he who, it means happy is he, fulfilled is he. So let's just put it this way. Giving secures more real happiness than receiving. I think a lot of people don't believe that. But the reason they don't believe it is they've never tried it. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Let me tell you why, just real quickly. Giving submits to God's lordship. Throughout the Old Testament, we're told, submit to my leadership and your obedience will be blessed. Even in the New Testament, the scripture says, look, if you will just give, show, watch and see that I won't return to you. Giving trusts God's provision. Because in order to give, you have to remove from your own baskets, if you will, to give to others. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 1 tells us, cast your bread upon the waters. And he said, watch and see that it won't return to you. Now, what in the world does that mean? Do we go out there and throw a loaf of bread on Lake Conroe? No. But it means if you will give your bread out to those that you don't know where it might be going, that you don't know the names of the people that might be going to. You watch and see if I don't return to you the same blessing, he said. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, and somebody out there is going to go, I knew the preacher was going to get into Malachi. But of course the preacher is going to get into Malachi because the scripture says, test me now in this, the scripture says. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. God says, test me. Just try me. And see, if you will just return to me what I ask, if you will give your tithes to the storehouse, watch and see if I will not return to you a blessing that you cannot contain. Wow. Talk about a promise from God. He said, if you'll just give to me, I'll return to you so much more you can't hold it all. That's God's promise. Giving, trust God's provision that he's going to take care of you. Giving advances the kingdom of God. Literally, your giving will help God's kingdom to grow. From your giving your testimony to giving to missions to supporting the church, it helps God's blessings to be brought in other people. Having a heart to give, dear friend, makes us more like our Creator. Having a heart to give makes us more like our Creator. Let's just go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only son. Our Father is a giver. Receiving is very human-like. But dear friend, giving is God-like. Giving allows us to do something that God delights to do. And is it not true that when we receive, we are acting like ourselves? But when we give, we are acting more like God, acting more like our Lord. I'll say it again. Receiving is us-like. Giving is Christ-like. And yes, I recognize this. I truly do, that there is a happiness in receiving. But dear friend, it's temporary. There's temporary happiness in receiving, but in giving blessings, it blesses us eternally. It blesses us forever. Forever. Some of you know that reference. Forever. Consider the life of John D. Rockefeller for just a moment. Not the greatest Christian testimony in the world, but he shows what I'm talking about here. How many have ever heard of the Rockefellers? Anybody? Yeah, most of you. Probably there are very few who do not. But as a young man, John D. Rockefeller was strong and husky physically. He was a picture of health. And by age 33, through hard work, he was a millionaire. At age 33. Now, this was back in the day, folks. At 43 years of age, he controlled the largest business in the world. Hello? The largest business in the world. At the age of 53, he was the world's richest man. And at the age of 53, he had developed a disease that was eating away at him. Not cancer, but it was called and is called alopecia. His hair fell out. His digestion was so bad, he was reduced to eating crackers and milk. A multi-millionaire eating crackers and watered down milk. He literally was in such poor health that he was about to die. Lying on his deathbed, someone said about him, they said, an awful age was in his face. He was the oldest man I have ever seen. And I'm sure somebody had seen somebody much older than 53. But they said he looked like the oldest person they had ever seen in their life. One of those nights, the age of 53, Rockefeller was unable to sleep. And he realized at that moment that he couldn't take one dime of his riches with him to the next world. Not one penny. And it was that night, he later testified, that he realized that money was not something to be hoarded for yourself, but something to be shared. That very next morning, listen to me, that very next morning, he began to transform his millions and millions of dollars into blessings for other people. The very next day, he established the Rockefeller Foundation, which probably many of you have never heard of John D. Rockefeller, have heard of the Rockefeller Foundation. And he began channeling his fortune to the needy through the Rockefeller Foundation. He gave hundreds of millions of dollars to universities, to hospitals, to mission work, to the underprivileged. In days, the entire focus of this man's life changed from getting to giving. And the result was that instead of dying on that deathbed where they thought surely he was going to die any moment, he didn't just live. He lived to be from 53 to 98 years old. That's why you've heard of Rockefeller. Because he didn't die at 53. He discovered that one of the moral laws of God placed in this universe by God was that giving is good for us and it enriches our lives. Can I spell it out real easily? In God's economy, you will be more blessed if you are a spiritual conduit than if you are a spiritual cul-de-sac. Where do you live spiritually, people? Do you live at the end of the road saying, God, bless me, bless me, bless me? Or are you a pipeline of sharing God's blessing to the people and to the world around you? God wants to bless his children. And there is a wonderful, wonderful richness in God's blessings. Thank you, God. But he also wants to work through you to be a blessing to others. That's why he gives so much to us, so that we can share with others. So in other words, if you have the capacity to address a need in somebody close to you, the Bible says don't just tell the person who's standing in front of you who is hungry and without clothing and no place to live or with shelter. Don't say, well, God bless you and have peace, and then walk away. God gives us for the very reason that we're to share with others. And when we do, God says we become more like him. And in becoming more like him, we are not just blessed any longer, we are more blessed, Jesus said. God even promises to return the favor. Go look through the New Testament time and time again. God says, give to me, and see if I will not return to you. Sometimes he says 30-fold. Sometimes he says 60-fold, and sometimes he says 100-fold. See if God will not give and return to you the blessings. Boy, God has blessed us with abundance. Amen? Let's just stop and look at our church. God has blessed this people, our people, and what I mean is us, abundantly. Look at the blessings God has given us. Everything we have, whether you realize it or not, and I pray that you do, is from the hand of God. He has given us some grand blessings. David, in Psalms chapter 116, verse 12, he said, what shall I give the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Hey, as kids, do you remember? Remember you wanted to get a present for mom and dad? Come on, were you with me? You wanted to get a present for mom and dad, but that always bought everything. So what did you do? How did you earn a present for mom and dad? Did you go get some money from mom and dad to buy a present for mom and dad? And then what little we had, we wanted to, because they had done so much for us, we wanted to return it. Listen, that's just the beginning of what David was singing about. How in the world can I return to God? What can I give him for all of his benefits he's given me? If you don't have that kind of a desire in your heart, something's wrong with your heart. God gives so much. Can we begin to even recognize what he's done. But even beyond that, not only do we receive so much from God, but folks, when we return to God and we give him back what he has freely given to us, God's word says we receive a greater blessing. Why? Because we get to see God glorified in our giving. And when God is glorified in our giving, and we see God blessing others through us, God returns the blessing. You may not see it all on this earth, friend, but rest assured, God is a good accountant. He knows. And he says, I'm going to return to you blessings you can't even contain. More blessed to give? God, are you sure? Test me. Try me. Let me prove it, God says. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father. You are such a blessing to us, Lord. And God, sometimes it's hard to step outside of ourselves. But God, would you give us faith to step forward, to meet the needs around us in the blessings and the abundance that you've given us? I guess, Lord, what I'm asking is would you teach us to be good receivers of all of our blessings, to be grateful and to be thankful? But also, Lord, would you help us and teach us and empower us to be even better givers than we are receivers? Help us to remember the words that you gave us from your Son, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. But Father, that's what you do all the time. You give and you give. Help us, Father, to be more like you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, could I ask you to seek the heart of Christ Jesus? Maybe, friend, in these difficult times, you've kind of pulled back on what God wanted you to do in giving. And it has been a tough time. But friend, I'm going to remind you of the spiritual principle that God says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Maybe it's your time. The gifts that God has given you spiritually. Perhaps it is of your finances. Maybe it's your prayer. What has God given you? Can you return it to him? Do it with a joyful heart and watch what God does with it and with you. Would you take this quiet moment to pray? Just seek the heart of Christ Jesus and just say, Lord, what is it you want me to do?
Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He came to this earth, that He lived His perfect life, that He died on the cross for your sin, and that He rose again so that He might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that He is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer and invite Him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know You personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from You. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank You, Father, that He rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask You to rescue me from my sin, and I place my faith in You alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.